Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Soundtrack's fitting today. Do you miss Hugh trying to sing these songs?
Heavens, no.
No. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giulio, Bro. It's Hunter Brody in for Hugh on this Friday afternoon. All your phone calls on the Phils, on the Eagles. What a disaster last night. A Philly sports disaster. It was a nightmare we had to live through for hours and hours last night. I'm still numb from watching that throw sail over JT's head, the way this Philly season ended. We're going to talk to Scott Francie coming up in a few minutes, live from the airport, as he called that one last night. And, of course, the Eagles, who go down. I'm shocked at the Eagles thing is shocking. The Phillies thing is numbing. It hurts. Like I knew, and I've had this sense for a few weeks now, bros, that this Eagles team is, there's something off, right? Like they've gotten outgained in every game, but I did not see a 17-point loss to a bad football team coming.
No. This Giants team just lost to the Saints, okay? And Spencer Rattler, who doesn't know how to win a football game. And it's funny, when they lost to the Broncos, there was this reaction of, it's a short week, it's a good thing, they don't have to let it marinate. And I almost remember screaming at people on Monday going, I want them to say, I almost feel it's dangerous to have a short week, because then it's, hey, forget it, new game, let's just kind of go at it with this mentality of, we got this game coming up. Where you don't allow the Denver game to truly hit the right way.
Yeah.
Where you turn the page too quickly.
That happens.
And then that's sort of what I thought I saw on Thursday, or, you know, last night.
Yeah, you get smashed by the New York Giants. All right, let's get back to all your phone calls and the Phils thing. Where is your emotion today? And it is, there's a lot of emotion out there, because we do this thing every year with the Phillies where we see the flaws, but yet we talk ourselves into it. And for the, to be fair, this year, they played well from August on, right? They started to show us they were different. And then I think it's a combination of a couple things. One, they did not get good managing. Two, the top of the order didn't hit enough. And three, their flaws came back out. And look, the Bader injury also hurt. It really hurt. The energy he brings, the play he had, it hurt. Now, injuries happen. It's part of it. But the fact that down the stretch we lost, I did think the Wheeler thing quickly. I know their starting pitching was great. Broads, I did think there was a cascading effect of not having Wheeler.
Like, sure.
You think about the whole series. If Wheeler's one and Sanchez is two, Wheeler starts last night, and Sanchez is coming out of the bullpen, right? Like, it just is a cumulative effect, and they ran out of gas at the wrong time.
If they got to that top, though.
I know.
You saw who was warming up. The second I saw him warm up.
Trinan, he stinks, yeah.
He is so bad. That was the game. Get it to that moment, and I think we win the game. I really do believe that.
No, I'm with you. I do think it happens. All right, let's go to Sue in Cape May, who's up on WIP. Hey, Sue.
Hi, how are you?
Sue, it's a tough day today, but we're getting through it together. Sue, what are you feeling?
Well, I feel as if the play at the end of the game is being blamed on pitching. And I don't believe it had anything to do with who was pitching or how he was pitching. It goes back to basic elementary training, where before the ball leaves the pitcher's hand, you know how many outs there are. You know how many men are on base, and you know where the play is. So to say that he froze, he didn't plan ahead.
If he did, when the moment got to him, he totally forgot. Right, his preparation went out the window. If he was even thinking about it, you're right, because that it was so bad that it made me second guess how many outs there are as I watched on TV. I'm like,
exactly.
Wait, I actually thought, so when the ball flew over JT's head, at first I was like, oh no. And I was like, wait a second. Was there one out? Was there a reason for him to come home? Was he trying to cut the runoff? And then they tried to get the double play. And then as soon as I realized, no, I was right. There were two outs. It's indefensible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And so naturally the play is at first. And this is a basic elementary plan that you're taught at 9 and 10 years old to know where the play is. So it has nothing to do with his quality of pitching, but the fact that the the elementary training is just lost somewhere.
Yeah, and I think, Sue, at this time of the year, right, pressure gets to people. And when you're an eighth inning guy, a ninth inning guy, there's a reason why there's late leverage guys. There's the middle guys that kind of come in and clean up innings. And there's just a mentality to this. And as much as I'm intrigued by the skill set of Orion Kerkering, and he is still kind of young-ish,
right.
Maybe he just doesn't have that part of the reliever role. And if you don't have that, then you're not used, unfortunately.
But you learn that at 10 years old.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, I know. I mean, yeah. Now, Sue, you're right.
The pressure got to him is what happened.
They're getting paid to play under pressure.
You're right. You're right.
So, if you go to win a World Series, you have it's all pressure. The whole month of October
exactly,
is pressure.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't care who's pitching. I care about their basic instincts.
Well, they're bad at it under Rob Donovan.
Yeah, no. So it's a good fall. It's a fair phone call. And Kyle said this to start the show. It was an instinct last night. I feel bad for Orion Kerkering, all that kind of stuff. And as a human being, I do. Like, his worst moment was played out in front of everyone. But it is his job, right? Like, this, his job is a professional baseball relief pitcher. He's got to make the play.
Imagine if we had a bad show. Are people going to feel bad that we had a bad show?
No,
or is that
say
our job?
They're going to say Gilio's take sucks. They say that all the time anyway.
Everybody likes.
I move on.
It's. Everyone that has a basic level of human decency would feel bad for somebody who's having, you know, one of their darkest moments. Like, that goes without saying. Like, we don't need to have a sympathy off for Orion Kerkering. Like, he failed to do the job that he's paid to do. He blew it. All of this, whenever we rip all these players, it's always as professionals.
Yes. Well, and also,
but, like, it was my sympathy first.
Yeah.
Be sympathetic to me
Kyle
first.
Kyle said, and it really was. Wasn't
this is about
it the,
me.
Wasn't it the equivalent last night of, like, an extra point, missing an extra point in the NFL?
Sure.
It's a layup. I mean, he does that all the time. Pick the ball and throw it to first base.
It's crazy because I think I would have to contend it's the single biggest, like, individual choke job for a Philly athlete.
To end a game.
That I've ever seen.
Yeah, the Ben Simmons one was up there.
I think it's so much like the Ben Simmons one was brewing. He was always going to be afraid of the moment.
Well, it was
he was
brewing. It was
not going to want to go to the basket like that. We saw the cracks in Ben Simmons mentally for a while.
Part of his skill set was he couldn't shoot, and that's why it happened.
This was the moment, quite literally, just being too big for the guy.
Yeah.
Well, it was the only. I think I saw it this morning. It's only the second baseball series ever to end on an error. But this one is the other one happened 10 years ago, and it was a throwing error, like physical error, the Bill Buckner thing.
Sure.
This was a mental and physical.
Like James Bradbury holding. Just, I mean, it's a penalty. Yeah. It's a mistake. Mitch Williams leaving one to Joe Carter. Mistake.
These are sports plays. Yeah.
Right. Like that's like you said. It's a sports play. This is like you. I mean, you choked.
Yeah,
that's the definition of a guy choking.
It is, yeah. Did you see this Hembo stat about the Phillies in this series? Mm-mm. The Phillies scored more runs, had more hits, hit more homers, struck out fewer times, drew more walks, stole more bases. Lost the series.
Because the little things they did wrong.
They matter. They really do matter from top to bottom.
That's what I've been saying. Like all the stuff that we, all of our complaints that we have about the top of our lineup, you could say the same thing about the Dodgers.
Well, Otani did nothing.
The Dodgers have a better lineup up and down than us, and we outscored them in the series.
Well, that's why I think Topper's not the manager next week, because all this is his responsibility.
It's the little details.
The little things. And his decision-making, and it was not good. I mean, without question, it wasn't good. David in Westchester's up. Hey, David.
Hey, Joe. Hey there, Little Hugh. How you doing?
Oh, Little Hugh. What's up?
What's up, David?
Well, to say that this has been the worst month of sports in Philadelphia history would be accurate.
Yeah,
this
that Flyers lost their sting.
Yeah, I mean, they're in big trouble. 0-1 off the jump. Come on, Tom.
Yeah, that's why Hugh didn't come in, because the Flyers lost. He's too distraught.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. He called out this week. He's like, listen, the Flyers lost. I can't come to work today.
Can't do it. Oh, that's funny.
Actually, you know what? This is the suspension we talked about the other day. We decided to suspend Hugh for this Friday. We couldn't deal with it. Go ahead, David.
Okay. You missed one emotion when you're going through your little list, and that would be validation.
I knew this was coming.
Yeah, did you know it was coming? Yes, because all year, Joe, I've been saying this team is not good enough. I didn't spend any freaking money down there until the playoff series. Now my wife's not talking to me because I stole the $500. And these guys put this crap up. And to come up this small, you know, because as you know, Joe, I play senior softball. And I know a little bit about baseball. Less than two outs, you go to first, you know. Two outs, you go to first. Less than two outs, you go home. And, you know, that kid just, he lost it. But as you guys said, the moment was too big for him. And, you know, what Topper did was just, you know, he's making moves just to make moves. So what you got to do is you just got to blow this team up, as I've been saying for a couple years now. Any free agent's got to go. I would, and then you bring back Ranger, because once you let him go, he's not a Philly. So you bring him back, and you bring back Harrison Bader, because he's scrappy, and he knows how to play the game. And unfortunately, he got hurt, so you had that same old stinking outfield out there that you had last year. And guess what? You got the same results. It's like watching a movie for the 19th time, and you know what? You know the ending. And you know what happened this year, Joe? We knew the ending. Everybody's trying to fool themselves. Everybody's trying to kill themselves. And it's insane what they're putting out there and what they're doing. Dombrowski's got to go, too, because he's the one that constructed this. Topper's got to go just because he's got to go. And, you know, every free – just get rid of them. Get it all. And then you can't get rid of Harper, and you can't get rid of Turner because of their contract. So you make them play with young guys. You know what? And, you know, you brought this on yourself. You know, you watch these guys bumble and try and learn on the job, because you guys stink. And you're way overpaid for what you do, which you do nothing.
Well, they didn't do enough.
Joe, David. I just thought of something as he's kind of
appreciate David
laying that out there. What do you think the fan base would be like if we roll into a year where, I mean, let's be honest, if you bring up Aiden Miller, Justin Crawford, these type of guys, you don't win a World Series. How would we react going from where we've been the last few years to turning the page into this new movement, but the bar not being as high? Are we going to react in a harsh way, in the right way? I wouldn't even know. Maybe today's not the day for that question, but I wouldn't even know as a fan base how to feel about that.
Yeah, well, I think the messaging would be important. Like, are they rebuilding? Or are they trying to
setting up a retool in a way.
Well, we'd have to accept that they're not going to come close to winning the World Series next year, right? Odds of doing that with rookies is very hard to do that.
But I guess you kind of have to make the argument that that might be the only reasonable and logical route to go based off of where you are, unless you're trying to thread the needle in a very intent. But that's how you end up with contracts like Trey Turner.
It is.
You know, that's a prime example of trying to make it work when it's not there.
This is their most important offseason in a very long time, because they have to decide which route they want to
go.
Right? Like, are they doubling down, and that means they're trying to re-sign these guys, and they're either upgrading at manager
and
or keeping Topper.
Bryce isn't going to want to double down?
Well, of course he is.
Well, yeah. So how much is he influencing?
Well, but a fair question off of that, though, is he's getting older, and he's not the player he was a few years ago. Should he still have as much say?
No!
Like, you know, it's apples to
that's why
oranges.
We're in this trade predicament.
We are. It's not the same, but, like, you know, and the two sports are obviously different. But when LeBron James was at his best, he could be in charge of everything. And if he had a bad contract, whatever, he's gonna drag you to the finals. Now, at this point, recently, the Lakers are like, we're not listening to this guy anymore.
You didn't like the commercial idea?
I was out on that. Oh, but, like, at some point, you have to stop listening to that guy, because the dividends are not paying off as much. You're not getting the same. They have to pick a lane. They have to try to keep going. My guess is, because they like the people coming through the turnstiles, they're going to double down. I'd be surprised if they actually let three or four of these free agents go and don't try to win the World Series next year. It might not be prudent for the next 5 years, right? We might regret the contracts they give out this offseason in 2030, but if you had a guess, do you think they're going to double down or they're going to take a step back?
If Dave's here, they're probably going to find a weird way to double down. Yeah. And okay, so then they'll play the other side. What if they end up, forget going the young way, what if they go the old way and they try and get some real-time players and you win 92 games next year? How's this fan base going to operate throughout the summer? Oh, this is a nightmare. I don't buy into this team, blah, 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 blah.
No one's going to believe. No one's going to believe. Well, you know, the Dodgers a couple years ago, they went out and they got swept by the Diamondbacks. I think Freeman and Betts were terrible in that series. You know what they did? They went and got Ohtani. Like, they doubled down, like, we need more. We're not good enough.
Okay,
so
go get Ohtani.
Well, I wish we could. That'd be awesome. We can't do that. Black Gritty is up on WIP. Hey, Black Gritty.
Hey, give me a little time. I'm going to try to maintain low tones. I usually don't call when Burrows is on because he's the only person louder than me.
Fair enough.
Man, look, Topper's got to go. Bryce, thank you for choosing me, but you got to sit down and shut up, bro. You're trying to bring back more old cronies? Give me four beaters. Give me four young dudes so I don't have to do this platoon in and what's going on and have a little bit of hope. Because guess what? Apparently I can't have next year. I want 50% capacity. Don't even sell the tickets because I don't want nobody feeling nervous or being upset. Everybody mad at Cassie. Hey, Bryce, you can at least start up with some timely hitting like Cassie did. And as far as Kirk is concerned, he just saved the life of every, like, 10-year-old kid that is in Little League and their dad's killed them and ruined their relationship talking about the mistake you made. You made that mistake in the big leagues. You better leave these punk kids alone at all these tournaments everywhere I go. Now, as far as Eagles are concerned, Jalen Hurts is allowed to have a bad stretch of gameplay. Right now, I can't defend him. I would defend him like bros do. But guess what? You miss it wide open, everybody does that. But that interception, I know you ain't throwing one of 305 passes, longest streak, whatever. Dude, that was bad. You got to read the play. Petullo got to go. Where's Nick Sirianni? You don't know where Sirianni is? He is going to be on Hard Knocks, and they're going to be exposed for all the penalties, flags, all the discipline. What do you do, head coach? You ain't even got the team together. A.J. Brown, I hope you happy, dog, because you're getting all kinds of passes, and we're losing. So let's put in Tanner McKee so we can make Chucky Ducky happy, talking crazy. Put Jalen Hurts at cornerback. Oh, Howie, how about instead of begging Saquon to not go for 2K and giving him an extra bonus check, you keep Mekhi Becton, or maybe you pay Rodgers $4 million instead of giving him a little extra money. You already been a high-paying running back. You're going to give him extra money. Now my lot looks like garbage because the guy next to him is a backup, and he's out here trying to do double the work. And Lane Johnson didn't double his fight or retire early. Oh, my goodness gracious, everybody get healthy because we're about to lose to Carson Wentz. It's a great day in Philadelphia. My goodness gracious. I'm about to drive off a cliff. Love you guys.
Black Gritty, appreciate you. That when he dropped the, of course, Eagles are on a mini bye, right? They don't play this weekend, but then they're back at it next week. And they are in Minnesota, likely against Carson Wentz. That feels like a big, big day just for my sanity. Because if they lose to Carson Wentz, I don't know what I'm going to do.
I wish that was at home. I wish that was at the Link.
I do too.
Yeah. It's in Minnesota, right? Isn't it?
Yeah,
I believe so.
Yeah, it is. Do you feel good about going to Minnesota right now?
No, you kidding me? I don't feel good about anything the Eagles do. Nothing. They can't even return kicks. They can't even catch the ball, let alone whatever happens after that. They can't do anything.
No. It is amazing how we've gone back and forth, Kyle, the last 2 years between they're the best team in pro football, and then they just become a disaster very quickly.
Yeah, and like to scale it down smaller. They do all the little things well.
And none of the big things.
They can't do any of the little things right. Can't do anything right. Nothing. Like last year, we're like, wow, what a well-coached, organized, detailed football team. What does Sirianni say? Tough, detailed, together. Yeah. None of those things right now. Not a single one of them. And they were all three last year.
So Black Gritty brought up the Hard Knocks thing. They're on the NFC East is the in-season Hard Knocks. We're going to get some of this stuff, whatever they allow through, I guess. But we're going to get some of this emotion on the sidelines during these games. I think that comes out in November.
You know what just hit me?
What's that?
We're going to get I Told You So, Douglas.
What do you mean?
Remember his whole thing about Hard Knocks being...
Oh, a bad thing?
Yeah.
But that's not why this is happening.
Well, he'll probably spin it that way.
Hugh lives his truth. We know this about Hugh.
But that means every team in the NFC East needs to be bums, right?
Right. Someone's good. Someone's going to be good.
Unless it's an NFC, what is it, the NFC South that, or AFC South or whatever.
Yeah, we're all bad.
Trying to work through this logically is not going to work in this conversation with Hugh.
I find it very interesting that Hugh was out the day after Jalen had his worst game in a long time. I know it was pre-planned, but something tells me Douglas knew this thing was coming here, and he booked out.
People are coming after him, too.
Oh, good. So. Someone has to. Mike in South Philly's up. What's up, Mike?
Hi.
Mike, what's up?
Hey, Mike.
What's going on, man? They got to get rid of Rob Thompson. And walking Ohtani when he's 1-for-17 was just atrocious. I didn't understand that at all. I mean, I get that he hit a home run off of Sanchez prior, but who hasn't hit a home run off of a pitcher? He's pitching well in that position. You walk him, and then it leads to where we're at now.
Well, and Mike, to your point, and I'm with you, I didn't like it. Now, I understand the logic, right? It is the best player in baseball, Shohei Ohtani, and he has good history against Duran. But, Mike, what frustrated me about it was you gave Duran no margin for error. When you load the bases, if he has one or two go the wrong way with a pitch, then you're behind an account to Mookie Betts. And, Mike, with that, Mookie Betts is also a first ballot Hall of Famer, right? You're not walking Bryce to get to Alec Boehm. You're walking Ohtani to get to Betts.
I was just going to say that. It's not like you're walking Ohtani and, you know, you're going to Will Smith or somebody like that. You're going to a former MVP.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe Ohtani chases because he's been looking for an answer, and maybe he gets himself out. You know,
he
could have easily gotten himself out because he's trying to do a lot, knowing he hasn't really lived up to what he thinks he can do.
Like, if the runner was just on second and nobody on third, right? And just the bases open at first, that's different. Because you're not loading the bases, right? You're still giving Duran a little margin for error. It's a problem.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And then on top of it, there was a lot of mistakes that I felt Thompson made last night. It's just time. I think he has to go. And on top of it, I think that him and Petullo should start heading down to the UPS.
Maybe they should start a podcast. What do you think?
Yeah, the Petullo.
Petullo and Topper?
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, that might be their next stop because it's obviously not going to be here for long. Mike, we appreciate the phone call. Yeah, it was a 50-50 decision. But you know what the problem for Topper is? All his 50-50 decisions go the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, ultimately, it is a results-oriented business. Whether or not, and I feel this with managers, with coaches, like, I can understand your logic, but they're paid to be right. Like, I can understand Howie's logic in almost everything he does, but once in a while, he's wrong.
But
like,
I could say
Tank
with
Bigsby.
A lot of this Rob stuff this postseason in particular, I couldn't even see
the bunt. I couldn't. The bunt killed me inside.
David Robertson up in the sixth and the seventh and not using Ranger in game one if you knew he was going to be used in game three that way. And I mean, there's a lot of things that made zero sense to me. This one at least does make baseball sense. But to your point, you gotta be right.
Yeah,
you gotta be right. And he was wrong. In 22, he was right every time. Now he's wrong every time.
You know, and we've ripped a lot of people the last couple days, and we'll continue to. Duran also can't walk a runner.
That's a good point.
I mean, they traded a lot for him. He was called the best closer in baseball. You can't walk him. You can't walk a run in. All right, 215-592-9494. We're going to have Scott Fransky on coming up in a little bit as he's on his way home from Los Angeles. Can we just hear from A.J. Brown, though, after the game last night? Is this A.J. Brown talking about the meeting that supposedly went on? So that meeting between Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown, when they spoke about it, Jalen and Saquon a couple of days ago, they acknowledged it. That day, A.J. wasn't available. He was obviously available last night after the game. Here's A.J. Brown on the said meeting earlier in the week.
What was behind that?
I don't recall the meeting.
Oh, okay. The meeting never happened.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Those guys said it did happen.
Oh, you didn't talk to them.
You weren't in the meeting?
I don't recall.
Or you don't want to just talk?
I don't recall.
Come on, man.
Yeah, the vibes are
come
are
on
plummeting.
I don't understand that. I understand being frustrated, but how does this help? Right? Every time AJ does this, and I'm an AJ fan. I'm not one of those guys that think he's...
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lyon. I'm on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, he's a lot to deal with, but I prefer having someone that talented on my roster.
Sure.
That's not helping the team. Mm-mm. It's just, it's not. And you think back to all the year, every year it's something. I just don't understand where he's coming from. I don't know how that puts this team in a better position. If you're all about winning and team success, how does that help this?
It doesn't. And you know, I get it. It's after a game. Maybe he doesn't want to talk about the meeting. He could say, yeah, we had a meeting. That has nothing to do with tonight. We lost the game. Let's talk about tonight.
What, like,
what meeting?
I don't recall what a smirk on his face.
The smile. Yeah, he did that too. What was the most recent one that he had to address in front of the room?
Oh, his tweets.
Oh, his tweets. Yeah, so the tweet. Same thing. The big smile. I mean, I don't understand. When things are going bad, you got to do everything in your power to help push this the right way. It seems like Saquon's trying, right? Give me the effort that Saquon's given us and Lane to try and get this back on track. He's making it harder for everybody.
The other thing, and I don't know how we would ever find out the answer to this, it does feel like things have gotten worse since he started chirping, right? Like, they were 4-0, they beat the Bucs, and that was after the tweet. Like, deep down, I wonder how much they're trying to pivot the offense to make him happy, and it's throwing the whole operation off. And that's, look, you have a young coordinator who's trying to appease everyone, mm-hmm. a quarterback that's trying to figure out where to go with the football every play, and he's not playing well anyway. Not a great offensive line. It feels like they've gone way too far to try to help him not be upset, and it's made the team worse.
That comes with the inexperience, though.
It does. It does. 215-592-9494. All your phone calls on all of this. Plus, Scott Fransky joins us live from the airport after game number 4. It is the Midday Show. Broads in for Hugh today on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
balls and a strike. Mahes breaks his bat. Kirk Ring got to find it. Throws to the plate. Oh, my goodness. He throws it away. And the Dodgers have won. The Dodgers win. And they are moving on to the NLCS. And a most improbable finish. Pandemonium at Dodger Stadium. And your heart breaks for Orion Kirkring. You know, this game ends in the cruelest way for the Phillies.
Why?
Yeah, that was me on my couch last night. The why. I got to say, Brian Anderson captured it well.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Because when he goes to pick up the ball, at no point am I thinking he's going to throw home. Neither did JT Realmuto. He was shocked. We were all shocked. Including the, Kim running the base? I think it was Kim running the bases for the Dodgers. He looked shocked when he got to home plate. He didn't even step on home plate. Like, nobody in that building was ready for that throw home. Nobody.
No, Freddie Freeman, when he was coming out of the dugout, you saw the shock of Dave Roberts' face as well. I think everybody was stunned. But you're right, he did actually do a really phenomenal job on that call.
It was a good job. 215-592-9494. Scott Fransky will join us coming up in a few minutes on his way home from Los Angeles. Man, We as fans, like, we got to live with it and talk about it, and we're doing a show. I can't imagine, Broads, what it's like for the team to fly home after that. Like, it's not just a road game. It is a cross-country flight. And I know, like, they're used to having to move on. It's part of sports that year to year. Could you imagine what that flight had to be like last night?
No, especially because, forget how we feel, and we mentioned this earlier, they felt they truly could win a World Series.
Yep.
So they were probably just as down as you could possibly ever imagine because they really thought they could have won a whole entire championship, and they won a playoff game.
Yeah.
They won one playoff game.
Though I do feel that was potentially the World Series. Now, it's not over. Like, the Dodgers are not just now champions. They got to go beat the Cubs or Brewers and then the AL. It did feel, though, like that was the World Series.
You know what? It's funny you say that. My buddy texted me and asked, do you think there would be just a different outlook if they had to play in a wild card series, won a round, and then lost in the NLDS? And not that I really care about that, but I was like, huh.
Maybe. There'd be at least some wins.
Yeah, I know.
Something like that, positive.
But, I'll take the bye. I want the bye. The bye's good. You set up your pitching. It's way better. But I did do a little, well, that's interesting. You're right. Because then there would be a couple of wins. Crowd would be pumped up a little bit.
Well, Red October was one win. One win. We got all pumped up
on
for one win.
On the road.
I know.
On the road.
Well, it's just 2 years in a row now. They've won one total playoff game in each year, right? They beat the Mets in Game 2 last year. They beat the Dodgers in Game 3.
We're too much, apparently.
Yeah, well, it's our fault. Just ask Nick Castellanos. Let's go to James in Fairhaven talking a little bit about Jalen Hurts here. What's up, James?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
James, what's up, buddy?
Going to be honest, not an Eagles fan, but I got a bunch of friends who are.
Okay.
And watching that game last night, I had this strange take. I think that Jalen Hurts might have early onset Russell Wilson. And
you say it like it's a medical condition, early onset, but go ahead, go on and see what he got.
Two specific plays. There was one play, he was scrambling, maybe got like 2 yards, and he slid like 3 yards before anyone was even near him. I understand he wants to protect his body, but it kind of looked like Russell Wilson. And when he overthrew Devontae Smith with that moon ball, I was like, oh, I've seen that before too. Don't know if it really makes any sense.
No, so James, I have felt for a long time, he reminds me, and the Eagles, like this version of them, remind me of like 12 years ago Seahawks with Russell Wilson. So I'm into your comparison. Do you mind if I steal early onset Russell Wilson disease? I might use that on the show. Is that okay?
Yes, please do.
Okay. I don't think it's crazy. I do think there are some similarities. James, we appreciate a phone call. Broads, I said this to you, I think it was off the air. We talked about it on the air. You can win a lot with Russell. They did, right? And the Eagles can win, and they have one with Jalen Hurts. But I do think there's a formula to do it. There's a way to do it. And when they started to ask Russell to throw the ball 40 times, they stopped winning Super Bowls or getting to them. And now we're doing the last 2 weeks, 38 and 33 throws. And I think it's 9 combined sacks the last 2 weeks. It's not an efficient formula.
Well, I think you hit on it when you talked about how A.J. Brown's pissed. A.J. Brown's not happy. A.J. Brown is loud, and everybody knows how much he's disappointed in this. And we have a young offensive coordinator that wants to make everybody happy.
Yep.
And they're losing the identity of what works with this quarterback. And some may look at that and say, well, then you don't have the right quarterback. But I personally don't, right? Like, everyone was like, wow, look how great Justin Herbert is. And then since the first few weeks, it's kind of I'm not here to play that game, but I think there is a formula, and they got away from the formula, and that's a problem. Like, you can't. You can't.
Yeah.
You know, you can't. You have to have some stones as an OC and as a head coach, and you want to use AJ, right? Like, no one's saying don't use AJ and just win football games without him, but there's got to be a happy medium here where what was going on early is unacceptable, not getting AJ involved, but you can't go this route where it's so pass happy that you lose the identity of what works either.
Yeah, the question I'm starting to have, Kyle, when it comes to the Eagles offense and Jalen Hurts, is if teams caught up to, okay, he does these things particularly well, this is where he struggles, and if there's not a great run game, we can make him do the things he's not good at, and then they're going to struggle.
Isn't this multiple times now where players, I guess, or former players have come out and said, like, there's a blueprint.
Yep.
The blueprint's out. And the pattern is, it's put the ball in Hurts' hands.
Yeah, but Spags did that last year and said, I'll put the ball in your hands, and look what happened. So I don't know. And that's where I get stuck in the pickle where I don't think you're wrong. I think there is something to that, right? If you're going to look at the Eagles, you know, Saquon running it down your throat for 250 yards or daring Jalen to beat you take the Jalen thing.
Yeah.
But I just feel sometimes it goes so extreme.
If he does it once at every five games, though, is that enough?
That's what I was just going to say.
On average last year, that's kind of what it was. Once every four or five games, he would just explode.
To answer your question, that is not
Is it
enough.
Fair to just say maybe Hurts is inconsistent?
Well, that's exactly what he is.
And when he's red hot, it's insane.
Well, and this year it's been half to half, not just game to game.
Sure.
Last year was game to game, right? Down games, then explode. This year it's been like they haven't scored a point in three straight second halves.
But doesn't that mean something's wrong? You know what I mean? Something's like really wrong.
Yeah, more than something.
Right.
It feels like a lot. Of things
but
wrong.
More than just quarterback play. If you can't get points in three consecutive halves,
sure. It's crazy.
Yeah, I guess I don't know. This is kind of what I think a lot of us people, like me and Joe, in our faction here. have been saying last season, like the thing that separates him from the elite quarterbacks,
their consistency,
are the consistency. Like Brian Dawkins came on the radio and said, you know, if we see what he did in the Super Bowl week after week, then go like knock yourself out.
He's one of those guys. Yeah.
That's where you get to that next tier.
I can't disagree with you that it's not there enough. But I guess I'm holding on that it's because there are some guys that don't have it in there, right?
Well, he has it in him.
He's
yeah.
got it in yeah. there. So the flashes that I see when I do see it, I hold my hat on because I know even getting to that level in general is extremely hard to do. And we have someone that could, but why aren't we getting the consistency with
it? The other issue is if it was just him, I think we could fix that, right?
Yeah.
He'll find it again. He'll get hot. But it's not just him this time. There's other stuff going on. And that's why, man, it doesn't feel like it's even a 4-2 football team. The way they've looked, they look like a 3-3 or 2-4 team that has a 4-2 record.
1-5.
Yeah. I mean, a couple bounces go the wrong way, and we are in disaster mode around here. Brian in Mayfair is up on WIP. Hey, Brian.
Hey, what's going on? I wanted to talk a little Phillies.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I really disagree. I heard a lot of your show today. Disagree with that walking Shohei. Topper has made so many mistakes, cost us this series, I think. And those bats, I wanted to ask, like, how much of the bats' fault is on Kevin Long? Because he's their hitting coach and has been for this whole run. And I'm worried about him.
Yeah, I mean, this comes up every year, Brian. I don't know. I mean, if they want to fire Kevin Long tomorrow, they can't. And I don't think it's going to change anything. I mean, Bryce Harper is who he is, right? Kyle Schwarber is who he is. Trey Turner is who he is. I mean, these guys are so far. Now, if we had a team of all young hitters, I could see, like, all right, maybe this guy's not the right teacher for them. But we really, I mean, is anything going to change with our top guys? If it's you or me or Kevin Long in the dugout, I don't think so.
No, I would have made that call though midseason just to piss people off to see if you can light a fire. Not because I actually think who comes in does a masterful job of changing.
Well,
them.
Remember when Gabe was here? I forget the guy's name.
Oh,
John Mayle.
Chris Young. Chris Young was the pitching coach. I forget.
Well, then we also had they brought Charlie back. Remember?
Yeah, they had. To bring Charlie in.
And
there.
That didn't do anything because those guys couldn't hit. Go ahead, Brian.
And I wanted to say one more point, and I wanted to thank Ranger. But why is Ranger not pitching in game one? But
That's
I
a
do
good,
want to thank
great
him.
Question.
That was Thompson's decision. I want to thank Ranger for his service, but he's probably not going to be back next year. And he has been a phenomenal athlete for the city of Philadelphia, and I appreciate him. In fact, I appreciate this entire pitching staff, but Ranger's probably not going to be here. So thank you, Ranger. From my bottom of my heart, appreciate your time in Philadelphia.
You got it, Brian, man. We appreciate it. Why Ranger didn't pitch in game one, Broads, I don't know. And I said this the other day. I was almost not hoping but hoping we would find out he was more injured than we thought, right? He took the comebacker in the last series of the year. I was like, oh, maybe maybe he can't go. And then we watched him, what, he throw 72 pitches in game three? I'm like, he looks fine. He's physically fine. So it was just a decision by Topper. And you mentioned earlier, you know, there's like three or four cascading things that went wrong for him in this series. But that game one, you know, David Robertson, not a single time this year was asked to pitch an inning, go to the dugout, and come back. And to ask him to do it in game one against the Dodgers lineup, like, what did you think was going to happen?
And then you never saw him again.
Yeah.
So then, if you didn't have that much faith in him to ever see him again, then what the hell are you doing?
It reminded me of the Kimbrel thing against Arizona. Like, he was obviously the wrong decision.
But at that point, I almost felt, not to go back down that path, but at that point, it's like, I don't know how much he even had left to do in that spot. Maybe I'm being naive and I'm blinded by the moment or whatever, but I kind of remember that sort of being just...
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like, this is what we got. Like,
yeah, they didn't have much. Yeah.
Let's just give it a whirl. Here, there was 75 different things he could have done.
Well, and they had all the off days, right? The off days should have been the advantage where you could use Ranger in game one. He could still come in game three, and they just did not do it. It really is a mess. Allison and Pittman is up on WIP. Hey, Allison.
Hey. I'm not too happy today at all. I feel like I want to gouge my eyes out.
Oh, no.
Put my head through a wall.
You're not the only one, Allison. I think everyone out there feels very similar today.
Yes, it was a tough night. But what I wanted to say was, I know that you have mentioned that it's good to have the bye week for the pitchers, but I think offensively, no way, it is not a benefit. I feel like all the momentum was completely lost. That's one thing. And then the other thing is Topper. He's got to go, period. I think that he's the one that made the mistakes that made the two losses, period. He's got to go.
He does. I mean, Allison, I'm done. And I like the guy, and he's been a good Phillies manager, but I'm with you that I'd move on. Allison, we appreciate the phone call. The bye. So,
are you doing the exact same thing I'm doing right now? Looking at the playoff format.
Well,
right now?
I was going to look at the Blue Jays because they had the bye, right?
The
American League, and they crushed the Yankees. Right?
Now there's two teams right now who had the bye that are going to a game five.
The Brewers and the
Seattle Mariners.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think I understand why people feel that way. And when you watch them not hit, you're like, that's why. But it just feels like we're making excuses. Like the Blue Jays had a bye. And Vladimir Guerrero hit like 800 in the series and killed the New York Yankees. Like, Bryce Harper could have done that.
Right.
I mean, like, he's allowed to do the same thing. So maybe it's on how they prepare during the bye week. I mean, that we could talk about. I don't know, right? They had the intra-squad game. I know Bryce, if we use him in particular, his baby was born last week, so his old routine was probably different,
though,
but I don't know.
How much of it, though, is less about format and the bye and just the teams that are – the separation between the teams in the NLDS aren't as large as we want it to be. Just because you win your division, it doesn't mean that. Because the Yankees, Blue Jays, they have the same record.
Yeah, right. They're the same team.
So maybe this could be a World Series matchup if they both weren't in the NL and it just happened to be in the NLDS. So how much of it is just disparity in teams not being as large just because you have a bye?
Yeah, it's
you know
weird.
What I mean?
It's weird to say it today because I don't want to make an excuse for the Phillies, but if they had pitched this way against any other team, they move on. Like, if they were playing any other team in the first round that was in the playoffs and they got this pitching, they probably win that series. It's the Dodgers. Like, because the Dodgers threw at them Snell and Ohtani.
But what if you were facing, I don't know, is this offense going to hit against anyone right now? I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
They did face good pitching, though.
They did. Oh, yeah. Like, Glasnow, I thought, was awesome. They got the Yamamoto. Did they get the Yamamoto?
Yeah, they got Yamamoto.
Yeah. See, and this is where Dave Roberts did a good job, is they had to go to Glasnow in the first game. Their bullpen was so bad. Sasaki was a gem.
And now, oh, my goodness.
A gem.
He's nasty.
He's so good. And you got to get weird at this time of the year. You got to go to guys that you don't traditionally go to. That's why I liked when you went to Lizardo. You got to stay with Lizardo. It's unorthodox, but it's that time of the year.
You know what I thought about as I watched Sasaki? He's a young starter who struggled this season,
Andrew
and at the
Painter.
End of the year, they moved into the bullpen.
Andrew Painter.
I just can't stop thinking about Painter. Like
he's
that.
So bad. Schlittler or whatever. Same kind of, I mean, different vibe.
Yeah, but a young rookie pitcher.
Dude, this Andrew Painter thing, I mean, it might get bad. This could be Sixto Sanchez stuff.
Well, and just, think about all the pitcher or the players they passed on. Like, in the last 2 years, they could have traded a lot of stars using him, and they didn't want to. So, it's wild to me. 3 straight years they're in this, and he doesn't participate, either through injury or they couldn't get him ready this year. All right, let's go to Junior in Texas up on WIP. Hey, Junior.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Look, you know me. I'm positive. Every time I call in, I'm positive. But, you know, I am so frustrated with Petullo and Sirianni right now. You know, Jalen Hurts definitely deserves some of the blame. He has had a poor stretch of games. But Super Bowl MVP, Super Bowl winning quarterback, we all know he's elite. But he's allowed to have a couple of bad games. Fine. But where the coaching comes in, they're just not helping anybody out. The situational play calling is horrible. The sequencing on the play calling is horrible. I mean, you're down 10 late in the third quarter, and the first thing you want to do is run 12, 13 personnel and run two halfback draws in a row. And now you're 3rd and 10, you're behind the sticks. I mean, that's completely unacceptable. And then on the other side, you have Sirianni every single week. We have things to clean up. We got to be elite at the little things. We got to get the play call in early. We got to reduce the amount of flags. And it's just never showing up. The play call is always coming in late. They're snapping the ball with 2 seconds left on the clock. Nobody's in sync. Nobody's organized. I don't know what's going on with this team. I know this team is capable of going on another Super Bowl run. This roster is stacked, but it just feels like they are being so mismanaged right now. And, you know, even with our quarterback in a slump, with the offense in a slump, the coaching is just not helping them out at all. And it is so frustrating to watch.
Yeah, well, it feels like they're swimming in the deep end with the coaching situation, Junior. I mean, they have an offensive coordinator who just is inexperienced, and clearly he's behind. I mean, bros, you're bringing up, you know, all these ex-quarterbacks, talking about how predictable they are. Like, you step to the line and you know what they're going to do. I don't care how much talent the Eagles have. If the defense knows what's coming, they're probably going to stop the play. And Junior, that's been the first 6 games of the season. And Junior, we appreciate the phone call. It's not good. It is amazing how this happens so fast, too. Like, I wasn't ready for this.
No, not this level of incompetence. If it didn't look as great as it did at the end of last year, that makes sense, right? Yeah. But it's all about progression. Here's the cliche, getting 1% better every day, blah, blah, blah. But it's supposed to be growing where, hey, week one, week two, you win ugly, and we can complain about it in the moment, but we know stacking wins in September is nice. But as we roll into the middle of October, there's supposed to be a progression and seeing growth. They're going backwards. Like, they really are going backwards.
Well, and they have 3 weeks to figure this out, right? They have the Vikings, the Giants, and a bye. That's the next 3 weeks. After that, the schedule has the Packers, the Lions. They have to go to Dallas, and that game, we saw when Dallas came here, the game wasn't super easy. They play the Chargers. They play the Commanders twice. They play the Bills. I mean, like, just think about what we saw last night. It was a bad Giants team. After the Vikings and Giants again, they're going to play maybe one or two more bad teams the whole year.
I want you to think about how bad this Giants team is. Brian Daboll is snapping at the doctor, saying, get this guy out of the tent! I got to save my job! You had the guy trying to save his job. He tried to get in the tent. The doctor had to push him out of the tent.
You see the way he looks at Jackson Dart, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
It's a little creepy.
It's pure love.
It's a little creepy. But that's what is going on in New York. He had to get in the tent to beg him to get out because his job is on the line, essentially.
A few minutes ago, we had a caller saying that Jalen has early onset Russell Wilson disease.
Yeah.
How about Russ having to come in for one play getting booed? They were like, get this guy off the field as they ripped the other kid out of the medical tent. I've never seen that.
No.
He's going to get fined.
That's a bad look.
He's got to get fined for that, right?
Yeah, listen, we all make fun of it, but like, the dude's concussed. And what's up with the one eye black thing? What's that? Is that swag?
Look, man.
Is that swag?
They just kicked our ass.
I know, but the one eye black thing, I'm going to hit him with a right hook. Yeah. What are we doing? Jalen would never.
I think I saw Schefter say the NFL's looking into that.
You got to.
We have to
situation
get fined.
With Dart. Yeah.
It's supposed to be an independent neurologist.
Yeah, exactly.
The coach is barking at him.
By definition, not independent.
All jokes aside, that's like really brutal.
Of course it is.
I mean, that's like borderline insane.
Yeah. If I was Russell Wilson, I'd retire today. Like, they want to drag a guy with a concussion back on the field instead of letting me hand the ball off twice. That was rough. Alex in Center City is up. Hey, Alex.
Yeah, what's going on, fellas? How you doing?
Alex, what's up, pal?
What's going on?
All right, boys, listen. I haven't drank since March 12th of 2023, all right? So we're talking some time. I drank last night. I had to because of the birds. Listen, I don't live in Center City anymore, unfortunately, man. I'm in California, believe it or not. I'm Orange County, all right? So I'm also a Yankee fan. So listen, just hold on one second. We'll get to the point. Now, I believe the last caller was talking about a bullpen game, correct?
Well, the bullpen in general, but go ahead.
Right. Okay. So look, I thought it was going to be peaches and cream for the Yanks to get by in regards to the Blue Jays bullpen game. Cause you don't call a bullpen.
The Blue Jays had a bullpen game in game four. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Against Schwitler.
I thought you were talking about, I'm not even going to bring it up. We lost. We sucked. Boone's got to go. I'll trade you Boone for freaking Rob for Thompson.
Yeah. I don't want him either. You can have him,
I'll take Kevin Long back too.
Yeah. You could take him.
These are my boys, man. I wanted y'all to kick LA's ass. Cause I'm in California, you know.
So what'd you think about the birds last night,
yeah,
Alex?
What'd you think about the Eagles?
It's freaking awful, dude. All right, let me tell you something. As a former quarterback, right? Oh. CHSFL champion, Archbishop Stepanak.
No nonsense there.
As a former quarterback, yes sir, respect.
That's right.
I love tons of it. QB, brother, who's calling the plays, Petullo or Jalen?
Because I think it's Kevin Petullo.
We gotta change that. That's gotta change. And also, Jalen, you have the ability to call audibles. Yo, where is the pre-snap motion? Why is he never under center? Why is he never under center, man?
Well, it's designed for him to be in the gun.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he likes it. I don't think he's comfortable under center. Never. I mean, his whole career is barely under center.
He never is because he's not a pocket passer. He's not a pocket passer. Guys, I've been watching this guy since Oklahoma. I remember being in a Christmas freaking light show, getting out of that line, going back home to watch that New Orleans game when he came in for once. And I swear to goodness, man. That guy was, I said, we need to build around him. And look what he did. Who gets to the Super Bowl, loses, takes that on the chin, comes back the next year, does okay, has some drama with AJ, boom, comes back the next year and wins it all, smacks Mahomes in the face in the regular season the next year. I mean, guys, he's resilient. He's certainly got the starting quarterback job, but someone else mentioned Tanner McKee. I want to win ball games. I don't want to deal with someone's emotional instability, because the fact that you can't control that locker room as a leader, as a poised person that you consider yourself, Jalen.
Well, then what about Nick?
I hope you're listening.
What's Nick's job then?
No, all of them.
No. Nick is the head coach of the football team.
Yes, and you know what? Haddonfield, New Jersey is just full of all of them, bro. That's where they're at. It's a soft area.
All right, Alex.
Hey, I'm a South Jersey guy.
That was a lot.
Yeah. Well, they do have mine. I'm on Haddonfield. Let me tell you something. Those taxes. Get the hell out of here.
It's not
that
for Brody.
I'm filling in for Hugh Douglas. I ain't working for Haddonfield. I ain't working. Nothing living in Haddonfield.
Yeah, I got to say, though, you know what officially happened on October 10th? The honeymoon is over for the Eagles after winning the Super Bowl. This is our third Tanner McKee call. Sirianni's getting rocked by callers here. I mean, this is...
All I needed to hear was early onset Russell Wilson disease.
I'm just so glad I get the permission to use that, because that is a great line.
It is.
And the signs are there. Yep. I mean, you see, I don't have to be a doctor to see early onset Russell Wilson disease. It's happening in every
game.
You might have to
wear the doctor's outfit again.
You might need... You know what?
I'll have to bring that back.
Yes. Bros, I had a doctor's coat this summer because I thought a lot of people had Jalen Hurts amnesia, so I was diagnosing them.
You gave me that.
Yeah. So I had to, unfortunately, I had to go to a funeral in August, right? And I didn't want to wear my dress shirt in the car because it was like an hour ride. So I left the house. It was like, all right, it's hot. I'm just going to wear my T-shirt, and I'll put the dress shirt when I get there. And I went and grabbed out of the closet the white, and I thought I had my dress shirt. And I get down the street, and I'm like, is that my dress shirt or is that the doctor's coat? And luckily, I turned around. Otherwise, I would have had the doctor's coat. So the doctor's coat is there. It's in the closet. If we need it next week, I'll wear it.
We have such a stupid job.
Yeah. We do. And the fact that I have a doctor's coat.
Yeah. And you almost wore it to a funeral? Yeah. I mean, that is pretty wild.
Well, I would have had to not go. You can't show up in that. It's better not to show up. You can't. I mean, you can't. That's a debt. You can't
no
do that.
No way you could have walked.
No. It's just you couldn't have done that. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll get you people up before the end of the show. I'm sure they have a lot to say here. Scott Fransky and your phone calls in 1 o'clock hour. Plus, in case you didn't feel terrible enough, wait till you hear this. Something that was relayed to a Philly after the game. We'll get to that in the 1 o'clock hour. And former Bronco talking about the blueprint on Jalen Hurts and the Eagles offense. Was he right? We'll hit that coming up. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.